We haven't been going through a sermon series. We celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago, and last week we had a guest speaker that came in to speak to us, Jimmy Han, my mentor. If you have not listened to that sermon, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that. You can find our sermons, all of our past sermons, on our YouTube channel. And so all you have to look for is Friendship Taipei, Friendship Church Taipei, and you'll be able to find our channel right away. We're going to start a new sermon series today. And, you know, as if you go back to the old sermon series, starting from the beginning of this year, you will have noticed that we've been talking about community all this time. And in the very beginning, we talked about this idea of a spiritual community, a supernatural community is what we talked about. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit is the one that enabled the church to start, and it was because of how Jesus Christ died and rose again, and it birthed. The church was born into this world, and we see the Holy Spirit moving and working powerfully in the book of Acts, and we also are reminded that the Holy Spirit is working even in our church today. And so we are a supernatural community. But not only that, we also talked about the real community. And we talked about how we as a church, we are a supernatural community, but we are really a community together. And there are these activities that we practice together as a community. And we talked about how we need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. And we translate that into today, saying that we need to be devoted to the preaching of God's word. We also need to be devoted to fellowship, caring for one another, and looking out for those that are in need and providing for those that are in need. We also want to be a community that practices the breaking of bread, which means that we want to spend time with each other, go out to eat together, and get to know one another, and so that we could grow in our relationships with one another, so that we could even heal by praying for each other and to even confess our sins to one another. And we also want to be a community that prays, that continues to look to God together. So we've talked about these things, but now we're going to start a new sermon series called Challenges in a Jesus Community. And the reason why we're going to talk about this is because when we look at the book of Acts, it presents what the church, the early church, was supposed to look like, what it did look like back then. But then in the next few chapters, and in our next sermon series, as we look through these next few chapters, what we'll find is that as the church has been trying to practice these things, we begin to also see challenges against these things in the church. And we'll see how those challenges also apply in our own lives today. And so today, we're going to start off by talking about this first idea. When people say this comment, "That's offensive." That's offensive. Today we're going to specifically talk about how challenges come against the community from the outside. Challenges that come from to the community from outside the community. And we may hear these words, "That's offensive." And so, why don't we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. If you do have your Bibles in front of you, I encourage you to open up your Bible. Even if it's on your phone, I encourage you to do that. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to read all the way to verse 22. If you have one of these blue Bibles in front of you from the outside, if you picked up one of those Bibles, we're going to be looking at page 912, 912. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 13, all the way to verse 22. All right, now this is the reading of God's word. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they encouraged that they had, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Amen. The reason why we sing the song was because this is the beginning. This is what comes before our passage today. Our passage talks about how a person was healed, and the song that we sang was about that event. Peter and John, they went to the temple, and they were going there to pray and wanting to gather with all the people. And they met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say: "Silver and gold I have none, but just as I have, I give thee." Well, it's not exactly word for word from the Bible, but this is what happened. And they healed him. And the man actually stood up and was walking and leaping and praising God. And this is what happened. But then some people were offended that the disciples were talking about Jesus Christ and that they were giving credit to Jesus. And so we see that the people, even though it doesn't say the words in the Bible, that's offensive, but they responded with that type of response. We don't want these people to talk about Jesus anymore. Now, in our society today, people demand acceptance. People demand that you understand and accept people that are different from you. And you know what? That's a good thing, right? That is a good thing. We want to promote the idea of acceptance. But it becomes a problem when people demand acceptance. When people go around and they start to say things or even do things to show that they are demanding acceptance from you. And there may be times where the things that they say are things that go against what the Bible teaches. And when we talk about what the Bible teaches, they may respond by saying, "That's offensive. You should not talk about these things. You should not say that we need to change. You should just accept who we are." And then they go on further and they say, "We're going to change the laws so that you cannot speak against us. We're going to change the law and we're going to make sure that people know that what you're teaching is wrong." Okay, now that's a little bit heavy. So let's take a step back. Some of you guys may not necessarily have faced this type of thing. And you know what? People responding by saying that's offensive may not be something that you commonly hear, but amongst all of us, there are issues that if they are brought up, you would say that's offensive. Don't ask that question. Okay, so let's start with something light, right? So for example, and this differs depending on which culture you come from. Everybody has different examples of what's offensive to them. So for example, if I were to go to any one of you and I ask the question, "What's your age?" Some of you guys would be offended by that question. Why are you even asking that question? Or what if I were to go up to you and say, "Hey, how much do you weigh?" Right? Some of us might be offended by that type of question. And you would say, "Oh, don't ask that question. It's becoming a little bit dangerous for you right now by asking that question." All right, there are things like this. But then there are other topics. There are also other topics out there where if we begin to talk about things like the Bible does say we need to discipline our children. And we do need to talk about what it means and what it looks like to discipline our children. But the Bible does say we need to discipline our children. But what if the government says you cannot discipline your children at all? What do we do with that? I don't know if you guys are aware or not, but then the Taiwanese government, they're trying to pass a law that says this. Well, not specifically those words, but you are not allowed to use your words or any type of action to abuse your children. But you have to look at the wording carefully to see what it's saying. Right? What if the world says to us, why can't we just love one another? Why can't we just accept the fact that I love guys? Or a lady says, I love girls. Why can't you just accept that? And the Bible, we look at the Bible and the Bible says that is a sin. To have sexual relations, to have that type of relationship with someone of the same sex. That's what the Bible says. And the world outside, they say, that's offensive. Maybe even some of us here might say, that's offensive. So how do we deal with that? Especially when the world out there goes against what the Bible actually says. Or sometimes we look at the Bible and we feel that it's offensive, but this is exactly what the Bible says. How do we deal with that? What's going on? And when people do respond with that's offensive, how do we have the strength and the courage that we see in the example of Peter and John, the way that they responded to the authorities? How do we have that type of courage to respond? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Main idea for today is this: speak God's truth with confidence in Jesus. Speak God's truth with confidence in Jesus. All right, I don't know why, but this is having issues again. All right, so let me just do a quick change here. And I'll just blame Apple for it. It's Apple's fault. That's offensive. Someone says, that's offensive. The 3 points we'll be going through are: number one, opposition; number two, confidence in Jesus; number three, speak God's truth. All right? Opposition, confidence in Jesus, and speak God's truth. All right, let's start with opposition. All right, to set it up, let's look at a portion of our passage today. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. And then it goes on later. It says, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. All right, so the situation is basically that Peter and John, they healed someone. And they started teaching all the people that this was possible because of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Because Jesus Christ actually defeated death, there is a real possibility that we can experience life on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we may see that in a physical way. And so Peter and John, they attributed the healing to Jesus Christ. Well, there are these people who didn't want to hear this. They were the Sadducees, the leaders of the Israel people. They were the aristocrats. They were the leaders of the temple. The priests, the priesthood, these people, they didn't want to hear this. And so they told Peter and John, after putting them in custody, they told Peter and John, stop talking about Jesus. So that's the situation that we face. Now, what do we find here? What we find is that because Peter and John, they were trying to speak the truth, They were opposed. Not only that, they were physically harmed. Their life was disrupted. And they were told they weren't allowed to do what they were wanting to do anymore. If you were facing this, how would you respond? Some of us might respond with a response by saying, you know what, if we understood the person that opposed us a little bit more, then maybe I'll be able to understand and things will be a little bit better, right? So for example, like, you know, if I understood that, or if my wife understood that I was just having a tiring day and that's why I came home and I yelled at the kids, then if she would just understand, then it would make things better, right? Well, we might not say that in some situations, but especially when you're the one that's tired, when you're the one that's going through something, that's when you might use this type of logic. But, okay, let's try to see. Let's try to understand these people. It says, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. All right. So the specific issue is that Peter and John, they were talking about Jesus Christ and about the resurrection from the dead. All right. So who are these people that were greatly annoyed? It was these people right here. And so let's try to understand them a little bit. If we understand them, maybe things will be better. Maybe it'll allow us to say, okay, fine, that's when you can tell Peter and John that they should stop talking about Jesus. Well, let's see who they were. I'm just going to run through this. They were leaders, aristocrats. They're usually more well off because they're leaders, right? What else? They did not believe in the resurrection. They only emphasized the Torah. And the Torah are the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses. They only emphasize the Torah. And this group of people, especially the Sadducees, they only appeared after the temple was rebuilt during that time, around the time of Jesus. So the temple wasn't rebuilt during the time of Jesus, but the temple was rebuilt before the time of Jesus, and that's when the Sadducees came to exist. Because again, they were the priests. They were practicing their priesthood. They were doing the duties of the temple. And then in 70 AD, AD 70, the temple was destroyed, and then the Sadducees disappeared. Because there was so much emphasis on the temple duties, because they found their identity in the temple, that's why they didn't want to emphasize other parts of the Bible. They wanted to emphasize a lot more the first five books of the Bible that talk about sacrifices, that talk about the laws of God. They were the leaders. They were the ones that were going to enforce the laws in the land for the Jewish people. And they were the ones that were enforcing the laws about the temple. And so they really wanted to emphasize the first five books of the Bible. And eventually, as time passed on, they began to only look at the first five books. And they didn't want to look at the rest of the Old Testament. They were also something called Hellenists. They were people that adopted the Greco-Roman culture very readily. They wanted to assimilate. They wanted to have good relations with the Greco-Roman culture because they needed to have good relationships with the Roman leaders who were enforcing the Roman law in their land. And because they were in positions of authority, the Romans allowed them to have these positions of authority. And so, if you think about it, a lot of these leaders, they wanted to keep the power that they had. They wanted to be recognized as the leaders of the people. They wanted to be recognized as the spiritual people of the land. And so they wanted to make sure that they emphasized certain truths, and then they forgot about other truths. You know what ends up happening? When this happens, when there is a truth that you need to talk about, but then there are these things that you're holding on to in your own heart, it begins to change you. Let me talk about what that means. All right, so it's like a flock of birds. And when you're the one that's different, there's this pull for you to want to join in. I mean, isn't that what it's like when you're younger? You want to be a part of the crowd. You want to be accepted by the family. You don't want to be the one that's different. You want to be the one that's fitting in. And so as long as the world is saying this is what's true, there's this temptation for us to want to go and be a part of that. Even as Christians, we begin to change the way we think and we begin to believe what the world tells us because we want to be accepted. Because we want to be recognized as intelligent. Because the world thinks that Christians aren't intelligent. And there's this strong pull to be like everyone else. Now, if there is opposition to what the Bible teaches, then what's the result of that? What's a normal response? What's a response that people may go through when there is opposition? Well, a lot of times we want to just keep the status quo. We want things to go as they were, and we want to make sure that things are just comfortable, that things don't change. We want to make sure that there's a sense of peace. And so if there's something that's wrong that's going on in society, we don't want to speak up too much because we might cause a little bit of trouble with other people. And so we want to keep a sense of peace. Maybe we want to hold on to the power and control that we have. And so we don't want to speak up. And what ends up happening is that as there's this opposing view, especially against our faith, then we begin to say, well, you know, let's not speak up against it. Let's not do anything about it. Let's just keep the peace. And then you begin to make excuses. And then the more and more you make excuses and you make the excuse your habit, what ends up happening is your theology begins to change. The way you understand God, the way you look at the Bible, you begin to change your understanding. Instead of saying, this is God's word and I believe in it, you begin to say, well, maybe not everything in the Bible is true. And your theology begins to change. And then what ends up happening eventually is that you firmly hold on to what the world teaches and you begin to argue against other Christians and you say, I'm a Christian, but I believe this. And you begin to speak against what's true, claiming that you're a Christian. What happens if you do speak truth? What is good about speaking up about the truth? Well, what may happen, I mean, this isn't what's good, but then what may happen is that people may reject you. People may hate you. You might lose a friendship. People may want to hurt you sometimes when you speak up for what's true. People may even want to kill you. And you know, if you're aware of things that are going on in other parts of the world, you know that this is what's happening. People are being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted for what they believe in. But you know what? What happens is that truth is upheld when you speak what is true. Other people will hear what is true, and they will have to think again whether what they're doing or how they're responding against you is right or wrong. Truth is upheld. And when truth is upheld, especially God's word, when it's upheld, then what we know is that because our God is a good God, because our God is a God of order, because our God is a creative God, because our God is a God of patience, because our God is a God of love, if we follow this God and his ways, then our society will be benefited. Our society will be helped. And so as Peter and John, they needed to respond, this is how they responded. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You know, the idea of speaking up and talking about what's true, the disciples, they were able to do it. And because of that, other people were actually encouraged and strengthened. You know, like when we need to speak up for what's true in the outside world, we have to believe that it will benefit society. But you know what? Sometimes we bring this attitude of not speaking up even into our church. We come every Sunday, perhaps with a smile on our face, and we say, hello, nice to meet you. How are you doing? Fine. I'm not going to tell what happened just this morning when I fought with my kids to get them ready for church. I'm doing fine. Or someone is going around and they're hurting a lot of people in the church through the text messages that they send. And they end up hurting a lot of people. But everyone says, let's just stay quiet about this. Let's not talk about it. Let's just try to keep a happy, peaceful environment in our church. And nobody speaks up about it. You know, this can be applied in our church also. And so I'm not just talking about the great big oppositions that we face in this world. I'm talking about the very things that we face even in our church. This is what challenges our community. Yes, the challenges come from outside, but even within the church, we face challenges ourselves to speak up for what is truth. How did the disciples do it? How did they have the confidence to speak up for what is true? That's where we come to our second point, confidence in Jesus. Well, when we think about what they said in this passage, it says, you must judge whether we should listen to you or to God. And it says in the very next verse, it says, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. What was it that they saw? What was it that they heard? Well, about a month, maybe 2 months before, what they saw and what they heard was Jesus Christ who was alive in their midst. What they saw and what they heard was Jesus Christ who died on the cross. What they saw and what they heard was Jesus Christ rising again from the dead. What they saw and what they heard was Jesus Christ appearing to them and actually showing them his scars. They actually saw Jesus Christ alive. What they saw and what they heard was Jesus speaking to them and saying, hey, look, I'm actually alive. I'm going to eat with you also, just to show that this is a physical body and not just some spirit ghostly type of thing floating around. And what they saw and what they heard was Jesus Christ ascending into heaven and telling them, I'm going to return. And I want you to go and be my witnesses. I want you to go and tell people of what you have seen and heard. And so the disciples were confident. Why? Because what they saw was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who through his death and resurrection became their comfort and their peace. Jesus was the one who was in authority, and Jesus was the one who had power and who was in control. Okay, let me explain this a little bit more. The reason why we shy away from speaking up for what's true, the reason why we shy away and we want to keep that little sense of peace among us and even in this world, the reason why we don't want to speak up for our faith in our workplaces, and it doesn't just mean I need to go and share the gospel with people. It means things like when people are lying, I need to say that lying is wrong. When people are cheating on their taxes and they're not doing their due diligence to do their taxes in a good way. And yes, there are holes in the way that people do taxes and things like that. And yes, you could take advantage of some things. But if you're blatantly being dishonest, then we need to speak up for those kinds of things. Or when people are being mean and rude against each other amongst the coworkers, we need to speak up for those things. We need to speak up for what God's ways are. But the reason why we don't do that is because I'm afraid if I speak up, then I might lose my job. I'm afraid if I speak up, then people are going to hate me. If I speak up, then people, my friends, won't like me anymore, and I won't have any more friends. If I speak up, then there's going to be conflict, and I don't like conflict. This is what Jesus says. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying is that, look, everyone else in this world, they have this idea of what they think is good and right, but I came to actually speak what is true and right, and what that is going to look like is that sometimes it looks like you have to go against your family. What that looks like is that sometimes you have to go against what society says. Sometimes it means that you have to go against what everyone else is saying to stand up for what is true. And especially in Matthew 10, it talks about, I have come to turn a father against their children and a mother against their children. I have come to bring division. And this is weird that Jesus is saying this, but what Jesus is saying is that I have come to declare what is true, God's truth, God's way. And there will be division as a result of that. But Jesus was willing to go through that, even willing to go to the cross and face conflict and face getting hurt, face even getting killed. Why? To show you what is true. To show you that God loves you. To show you that God cares for you. To show you that God will go through any lengths to demonstrate how much he loves you. And the way that this was possible was by Jesus Christ declaring what is true and then going to the cross for your sins. This was only possible because Jesus was willing to speak up for what was true. And through that, God demonstrated his incredible love. We seek our own comfort. We seek our own peace. And that's why we don't want to speak up against this world. But we forget that Jesus Christ has already given us his comfort and his peace. And he demonstrated that to us through the cross. Not only that, the disciples, they saw how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. We know that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and we know that he has all power to control everything that's going on in our lives. Even if we end up facing what's bad and what's painful, even if we face those things, we know that Jesus Christ is in control because he rose again. We know that he knows exactly what's going through us. He knows what we're facing because he rose again. He's not some dead God. He's not just some statue made of wood. Our Jesus Christ is alive, and he knows exactly what you're going through. And even when you're going through the hard times, what he's saying is, I want you to go through this, but don't worry, I'm here with you going through this pain. Because Jesus Christ is alive, that's why we know no matter what we face, no matter what may be possible, what scary thing might be possible when we speak up, we know that Jesus Christ is there with us. And that's what gives us the confidence to speak up. If you do lose your job, God's still in control. He'll provide for you. If you do end up losing a friendship, God will love you. God will provide for you. People that stand up and do what's right for righteousness, to do what's right and good, God will continue to bless. And so that's why the disciples, they had the confidence to speak up for what was right and what is true. And they even said to the authorities, to those who had power, to those that had control, to those that were the spiritual authorities, they were able to speak up and say, you think whether it's right for us to listen to you or to listen to God. But we cannot help but speak up about what we have seen and what we have heard. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian here today, I want you to think back on all the ways that God has revealed himself to you. Maybe it was through other people. Maybe it was through some type of experience. Maybe it's through you reading the word of God. But God has worked in your life. I believe it. If you call yourself a Christian, God has worked in your life. Think back on those times. Be appreciative. Be mindful of those times that God has worked in your life. Hold on to those times, and then when opposition comes your way, you say to that person, I'm going to speak up for what's true because I cannot help but speak up about what I have experienced, what I have seen and heard in my life, how God has worked powerfully, and how I know that Jesus Christ is alive because he's working in my life even now. What does it look like to speak God's truth? What are some things that we could keep in mind as we do this? Because you know what? It's very easy to say, and I'll say, I'm from America. I was born in America, grew up in America, and Americans are known to be obnoxious. We say, freedom! We're going to stand up for our rights to speak up. Freedom of press. Freedom of speech. And we talk about these things, right? Maybe some of us, we don't struggle with this type of idea. But we say, you know, it's righteous. It's good to stay quiet and just listen to what people say. It's good to not speak up and keep the peace. Wherever you are on the spectrum, wherever you are, it's very easy when you end up on one end or the other or anywhere in between, it's very easy for us to turn our response in speaking about God's truth and turn it into a sinful way of doing it. And so here are some things that I would like to just encourage you guys about how to speak up. We already talked about why we should speak up. We talked about the motivation to speak up for God's truth. We talked about Jesus Christ and how he gives us all the confidence to be able to speak up. But what does it actually look like now? Well, first thing I want to do is point to this book. I'm reading this book right now. And just the first part of the book has been really, really good for me. It's a book called Habits of the Household by a guy named Justin Early. And it talks about how we have certain habits that we build into our own lives. You know, every day that you wake up, you do things out of habit. You know, whether you wash your face first and then brush your teeth, or whether you eat breakfast first and then brush your teeth, or brush your teeth first and then eat breakfast, or maybe you don't brush your teeth and you only brush your teeth at night, you have your habit, right? And we have these habits because that's just how we live our lives. That's what we've put into our own lives. But it is possible to start new habits and to let that become who we are. The way that we want to start speaking up for what's right is by making it a habit to begin by thinking about what am I supposed to do in this situation as I face opposition to God's truth. And as you start thinking about that, we want to start responding. The way that we need to do that, number one, is we want to know the truth. Because sometimes you may think you know, but you really don't know. Sometimes you want to speak up for what's true, but you don't know. You're not sure. You're not confident of whether it's true or not. And so I encourage you, one way or a couple ways to do that is be faithful in coming to church. Listen to the sermons. If you missed a sermon, go online and listen to this past sermon. Attend a community group, because in our community groups, we're talking about what's true. We're talking about what's right. Attend a community group. But even more so than any of these, or rather I should say along with these, read God's word. Turn that into a habit. Make it a part of your daily routine. Read God's word. Next thing is be prepared to say, I was wrong. Because sometimes you may think something is right, and you go and you tell someone, and they say, no, that's not what the Bible says. Or that's not what it's talking about. And you might come off in that moment and say, no, it is what it says. And then you might get into a fight because of that. Be prepared to say, I was wrong. Next, speak the truth in love. This is what the Bible says. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Who is the head, into Christ. But what is this talking about? In the context, it's talking about, you know, there are these things that the world teaches us that throw us back and forth, and we get thrown around like by the wind and the waves. We get thrown, tossed back and forth because we don't have a strong foundation of God's truth. And so when we do know the truth, speak that truth to one another, but do it with love. Do it with care. Do it with patience. Do it with understanding. Speak up for those things that you see that are not quite right in your schools and in your workplaces, but do it with patience and do it with love. Next thing, speak truth with tact. With tact. In 1 Corinthians it says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. All right, do it with tact. What it means here, what this is talking about is, I have come to understand who I am going to talk to, who that other person is. I'm going to understand them, and I'm going to, with patience and love and care, I'm going to understand who they are. I'm going to learn about them first. I'm going to be humble and learn about them first. And then, as I understand who they are, I'm going to approach them in a way that they may understand. So sometimes what this means is that I need to go directly to them, and I need to tell them right away, this is wrong. And I need to tell you this because every time I tell you you did something wrong a few days later, you tell me you forget. So I'm going to tell you right now that this is wrong. But sometimes what that means is to not tell them right away. Because if you tell them right away, they're still filled with all kinds of emotions and they're not going to listen to you, whatever you say in that moment. So maybe it's better just to take some time away from that person, whether it be a few minutes, a few hours or days, and go back to that person and say, you know, that time, remember that? I wanted to bring this up to you, and I wanted to talk to you about it. Get to know the other person. Find out what helps them to understand, and do it with tact. Last thing, be okay with them rejecting you. You know, it's possible that as you go and share the truth with other people, they might not listen to you. They might say, you know what? I don't care that you're saying this, and I don't care about all the logic you're bringing. I just disagree with you. Our job is not necessarily to just try to convince them and make sure that they are convinced. Okay, let me rephrase it. Our job is not to make sure they are convinced. Our job is to just share with them what is true, using tact and love, but we want to share with them what is true and let God, who is in control, the loving God, let God change their heart. And so I don't have to worry that they're not agreeing with me in the moment. It's okay. I just need to speak up for what's true. when people respond by saying that's offensive, it might be our fault. We have to take a step back and think about it. But if it is for the reason that we're holding up God's truth, then let's do that. Because what we'll see is that we'll see a church community that experiences true peace. And what we'll see in this world is a world that's benefited as God's people speak up for God's truth. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, we all need to continue to grow in understanding your word, but I do pray, Father, that you would speak to each of us. Continue to teach us your ways through the sermons, through our community groups, through our own Bible reading times. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would do this wonderful work in our lives. And give us the confidence through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the confidence to speak up for what is true. And Lord, that we may see a church community that's filled with love and your truth. And Lord, that it may also benefit this world for your glory. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.